Chemical watchdog PPCRV not seeing anything of concern so far in its validation of votes in the May 9 polls. Meanwhile, another poll watchdog, Kontradaya, wants Smartmatic blacklisted over the vote counting machine glitches. Later on in the program, we'll be joined by NAMPRIL President Gus Lagman for his assessment of the conduct of the elections. An anti-martial law group taking their disqualification case against presumptive President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to the Supreme Court. Washington says it is ready to work with the new Philippine government on key human rights and regional priorities. And the UP College of Mass Communication denounces efforts to undermine democratic processes in the country. We'll speak with Dean Fernando Paragas about that. Hi, I'm Camina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this piece of news. The citizen arm of the Philippines poll body not seeing any discrepancies in their manual count of the May 9 elections. That's amid questions on the wide lead established by Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in the presidential race. The Parish Pastoral Council for Responsible Voting says it has received about 10% of the election returns as of this morning.
Based on the data that we are receiving, you know, we are not seeing any thing that should be of any concern. Mm-hmm. Again, just to emphasize as well, we at PPSCRB will be the first one to let you know if there's anything that should be of concern to us. And our data is open to anyone, political parties, representatives of any candidates.
The PPCRV also says they are focusing on other issues that do not involve automated election machines.
I mentioned about our tech team. Again, these guys are one of the best tech minds here in the country. Mm-hmm. And they have given us their assurance that such is our system. So the focus has actually been on any sort of anomalies that would happen outside of the machines. You know, the usual things where... vote buying incidents, you know, misinformation, disinformation. So that's really one of the major concerns that we were anticipating.
And let's get the latest now from the PPCRV Command Center, where correspondent Jackie Manabat now joins us for that. Jackie, over to you.
Carmina, as of noon today, the lead wall here at the PPCRV Command Center still reflects 98% of transmitted data from the Comelec Transparency server. And what we are anticipating here today is the 100% transmission of data from these servers. And we will also be monitoring the work of PPCRV for the manual audit of the results reflected on the election returns. That is why you see a computer set up here at the Command Center. And as of noon, they have received over 11,000 ERs, or 10% of the ERs, mostly from Luzon, and the farthest is from Sorsogon. And as Comelec's partner, PPCRV gets the fourth copy of election returns printed by the vote counting machines. And again, this is their way of checking for discrepancies. And by comparing the digitally transmitted figures and the data on these election returns, which are printed before results are digitally transmitted to Comelec servers, if there is no manipulation or error, then the numbers should match. So far, no discrepancies found in the manual counting, according to PPCRV. Carmina, what they do here is important as it helps verify the electronically transmitted results of the polls. PPCRV has also allayed fears that there have been chaos just outside the command center last night. And we were here last night, and until this morning, everything is peaceful. It's generally peaceful here. What we saw are long lines of volunteers wanting to get inside the command center. There were also lines of food donations for the volunteers. The security is tight here at the command center, and aside from the security guards, there are also members of the AFP stationed near the entrance of this command center. And as of now, the stream of volunteers continues going in and out of the command center. They are given around 2 to 3 hours to work at the ground floor as encoders, runners, verifiers, those who sort the ERs and inspect the ERs, and those who receive the ERs from PPCRV volunteers from various precincts. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Jackie Benabat. They are joining us live from the headquarters of the PPCRV. Thanks again, Jackie. And back here in the studio, let's now take a look at the latest partial unofficial tally in the presidential race. You've got former Senator Bongbong Marcos there with 31,078,160, followed by Vice President Lenny Robredo with 14,809,501. In third place is Senator Manny Pacquiao with 3,629,229. He's followed by Manila Mayor Isko Moreno with 1,893,380. Rounding up the top five there, Senator Panfilo Lacson with 881,699 votes. This is 98.24% of election returns. This is as of 10:02 in the morning, partial and unofficial tally coming from the COMELEC transparency server. A presumptive president, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., visits the grave of his father, the late dictator Ferdinand Sr., at the Libingan ng Mga Bayani. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now joins us with that story. Ina.
The presumptive President Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. made flowers on the grave of his father, the late President Ferdinand Marcos Sr. at the Libingan ng Mga Bayani. We do not have details about that visit, except that it took place yesterday afternoon. Now, photos from the BBM Media Bureau show Bongbong Marcos came in casual clothes. And there's this one photo where he placed the palm of his hand on his face in what appears to be an emotional moment, you know, if a picture paints 1,000 words. But then again, the BBM camp is mum about the details regarding this visit. But to note, Bongbong Marcos adopted some learnings from his father's political career and applied it in his campaign. For one, his running scared mentality and policy during the campaign period was a lesson from his father. He was front runner in pre-election surveys since the moment he filed his certificate of candidacy and was never overtaken. Despite that, keeping in mind his father's running scared mantra, Bongbong Marcos and his team were never complacent and did double duty during the campaign period. He would say his father was such and still is an important influence on him and describes his father as a visionary. It's been saying President Marcos Sr. knew his plans for the country, where to take the Philippines in 5-10 years, and so forth. To recall, he also said before that the late president would sometimes allow him to attend important meetings and then ask him, even at a young age, what he thought about a particular issue or plan, if only to test how aware he was about various issues. I would assume these were some of the memories that might have resurfaced when he visited the Libingan ng Mga Bayani again yesterday. Meantime, KC, some Marcos supporters, loyalists, continue to come to the BBM main headquarters here in Mandaluyong City to express their jubilation over Marcos's historic win, based, of course, on what expert observers describe as his landslide standing based on unofficial results from the COMELEC transparency server. And that is the latest from the BBM headquarters and the BBM camp. Back to you, Casey.
All right, Ina, any word as to when he is going to face the media? Because there's still a lot of questions. Like, for example, what kind of environment will the new and legacy media have under his administration? Also, the telling of history. How is that going to be like once he sits as president, Ina?
We had an opportunity to come face-to-face with him, to personally be with him. That was on May 9, when he was, before he delivered his message to the public, his message of gratitude, especially to supporters. And even when he delivered that live message, we were also in front of him, but there was no opportunity to ask questions. AC, he was with his family and some supporters. And after speaking to his staff, he also left the seventh floor. So we did not have that opportunity to ask questions. Now, we do not know when he will be facing the media and accept questions and the queries, of course, that you raised, because they're still very much on election mode, Casey. Remember, in that speech, he said that nothing is completed and final until everything is over, until 100% of the results are in and until the canvas is completed. They are still on election mode, really monitoring the results, the coming in of results and the official canvas, and would want to wait for the final results of canvas to come in. So it's very difficult to anticipate when that interview would be, if ever that would be granted anytime in the future.
If ever that would be granted. Thanks a lot. Inara Firmina there joining us on the line. Take care, Ina. Keep safe. Well, Vice President Leni Robredo makes her first public appearance since Election Day in her hometown in Naga. Our very own Adrian Ayalin now joins us with details. Adrian, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. Vice President Leni Robredo has asked her fellow Bicolanos who attended a Thanksgiving Mass here in Naga City last night to accept the final result of the elections. In Bicol language, she asked her supporters to accept defeat, as this is where their strength will be coming from to fight a much bigger fight. She, however, noted that her camp is on top of all the reports of poll irregularities, as she also said on how money spoke during the election period. After the Thanksgiving Mass here in Naga City, VP Leni is expected to also attend another Thanksgiving event there in Metro Manila on Friday. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Adrian Ayalin there joining us on the line. Adrian, take care. Keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, Marcos's running mate, Sara Duterte Carpio, also holding a commanding lead in the vice presidential derby. Let's look at the numbers now. She has 31,531,257 votes, followed by Senator Francisquico Pangilinan with 9,224,395. Senate President Vicente Soto III has 8,178,943, while Doc Willie Ong has 1,847,396, rounding up the top five there. Congressman Lito Atienza with 267,310. These are, of course, partial and unofficial results coming from the COMELEC transparency server. Well, a new era of unity between the two highest leaders in the land. That's what the spokesperson of Vice Presidential frontrunner Sara Duterte is touting once the Davao City Mayor and presumptive President Marcos Jr. begin their terms. Unlike the Marcos Duterte tandem, the president and the VP from past administrations usually come from different political parties.
She has demonstrated in these past months, she has worked very well with our president-elect Bongbong Marcos. And what we foresee is a very good working relationship that is based on a common and united principle of governance, and that is unity and love of country.
Given a choice for a cabinet position, Frasco says Duterte is eyeing the post of defense secretary.
Having been at the forefront of ensuring the peace and order of the very peaceful city of Davao, I think that Vice President-elect Sara Duterte would be able to give a lot of practical experience and advice as far as ensuring the territorial integrity and security of our borders.
And let's now set our sights on the partial and unofficial tally this time in the Senate race. You've got actor Robin Padilla still holding on to that top spot with 26,425,264, followed by former Senator Loren Negarda with 23,970,161. On number three, Rafi Tulfo with 23,147,240, followed by Senator Sherwin Gachalian there with 20,359,977. Sorsogon Governor Cheese Escudero on fifth place with 20,032,083 votes. On sixth place, you have Mark Villar, followed by Alan Peter Cayetano, Mig Subiri, Joel Villanueva, and former Senator J.V. Ejercito Estrada. You got the Senator Ejercito, followed by Senator Risa Ontiveros and former Senator Jingoy Estrada coming in at 12th place. Vice President, or former Vice President Jojo Binay trails him, together with the former Quezon City Mayor Herbert Bautista and former Defense Secretary Gibo Teodoro at 13th, 14th, and 15th place, respectively. Well, Senators Laila De Lima and Richard Gordon accept their defeat in the senatorial race. In a statement, Gordon said he bows to the will of the people. He adds he will move on from the elections with no regrets. Meanwhile, De Lima vows to continue fighting for truth, justice, and freedom. She also thanked her supporters and volunteers who she relied on to mount her campaign as she remains under detention on illegal drug charges. Now, a look at the latest tally in the party list derby. Let's look at the numbers from the Comelec Transparency Server. 28 Act CIS has 2,081,010 votes, followed by 14 One Rider Party List with 990,151. 86 Tingog has 872,891. Followed by 24 Peace with 836,596. And 18 Ako Bicol, 811,347. Well, the U.S. ready to work with the new Philippine government on key human rights and regional priorities. According to U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price, Washington will continue collaborating with the next administration to advance a free and open Indo-Pacific. Price, meanwhile, brushed off the question about whether he had any concerns on the looming presidency of the son of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos. He said, as far as he's concerned, the voting was done in line with international standards and without significant incident. The Philippine poll body's failure to decide on Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s disqualification cases on time is a disservice to the presidential bet and the petitioners. That's according to political scientist Tony Lavinia. The Comelec on Bank decided to drunk a total of four appeals seeking to bar Marcos from the polls on Tuesday, a day after the elections.
There's a major failure in this election, which is that the Comelec failed to decide the Marcos disqualification cases on time. Not really a disservice to Senator Marcos and a disservice to the petitioners, because now they have to go to the Supreme Court with a landslide victory by Marcos on the numbers. And the Supreme Court will have to be faced with this decision whether they should even take on a case involving very important points of law about the disqualifications of a candidate, while at the same time in the face of an election that's already been done.
Another petitioner in the Marcos disqualification case is taking their fight to the Supreme Court. The group Campaign Against the Return of the Marcoses in Martial Law or Karma accused the Comelec of taking its time to uphold the lies of the Marcoses and preempt their next move. Karma asserts allowing a convict like Marcos Jr. to run for public office is a slap on the faces of martial law victims. Well, the UP College of Mass Communication denouncing efforts to undermine the country's democratic processes. In a statement, it said, the spread of disinformation to mislead the public has been evident in this year's elections. And joining us now to talk about this is Dean Fernando Paragas of the UP College of Mass Communication. Dean, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
All right. So in your statement, you said you're denouncing how communication and media are being used to undermine the democratic processes. Tell us, how were new and legacy media used in the just concluded elections, Dean?
Okay, based on the efforts of our faculty members, we've found that there's disinformation indeed, you know, to some extent, historical revisionism as well. And our journalism department, our Department of Communication Research, our broadcast communication department, all did their own initiatives to check the veracity of information online and in legacy media. And we found that, for instance, especially in social media, that the presentation of information can be quite problematic. So we have Kalia surveys, which come across as quite scientific, but they are not. We have come across various news-looking pages, which are actually not legitimate news organizations. So there are many variations of disinformation that we've come across during the election period.
Dean, you're talking about the content, but I want to talk about now the environment that made it conducive so that the content that you speak of is actually consumed by users of new media and also subscribers to legacy media.
Okay, our colleague Jonathan Ong actually talked about it. That there's a network, that there's a structure behind all of this content development, right? And so we have to put this structure to task. And this is probably one of our main initiatives moving forward, is to really unravel what is this network, who constitutes this network. So that is really our assignment, you know, as a college moving forward, to unravel what is this network that is supporting this disinformation.
But what about
this spread of disinformation?
Yeah, but what about the environment, Dean? What made it so conducive that people were just vulnerable to the content that's being provided them?
Okay, I think it's because there's also a big information gap that we were not able to satisfy. So where there's information gap, people, in this case of ill intent, right, we'll try to fill in these voids. So when there is information gap and we're not able to fill it in with verifiable, with factual information, then people will resort to other sources of information.
What led to that
information? The challenge for us, right?
Yeah, and what led to that information gap?
Well, to some extent, many of us are, you know, have not been very active, and this is a marathon, right? This is a project of many years, and so. While advocacy networks got activated in last year or so, the work has been done by other parties has been done much earlier. So we have to get moving and get moving fast.
Is it only going to be you?
Well, that's why we issued a call. We are only one organization, and we are an academic organization, so we have to balance our teaching, our research, our public service, and partner with civil society organizations, with professional organizations. So we have to build a network because we are one organization. We need the support. That's why we had a call. We issued a call yesterday because the conversation has to get started. And while we take a leadership position, we need the support of a much bigger base.
Talk to us about the role that money played in fueling, really, the spread of disinformation.
Yeah, my sister and I talked about it earlier, right? She's in the communication and media profession as well. And I was telling her, you know, there is so much money coming from another side. And so the challenge is where to get the money to support our advocacy. So that's part of the partnering with civil society organizations, is to look for sources. And one thing what we've found is among younger people especially, there's a groundswell of support for content development, to write the disinformation, to create content, to do research that will hopefully rectify what has happened in recent years.
But then if
so while money is important, we can combat it with advocacy work.
But then if you go to the formal structure, like the education system, for example, if that's not being propped up, what you're doing outside, if that's not being propped up inside and supported, you know,
yes,
you can only do so much. So what kind of, you're a member of the academe, what must be done there?
Well, to begin with, we have to review the curriculum, right? And I work with higher education, with the Higher Education Research and Policy Program of UP Center for Intergovernmental and Development Studies. And so I'm working with higher education institutions, but work has to be done much earlier. So the Center for Integrative Development Studies also has an education reform research program that deals with basic education. So we really have to work, you know, more collaboratively and address paucities in our curriculum. Where we need to promote stronger media literacy and a keener understanding of history.
Dean, you know, we're talking about this now, and we're also, you know, in the middle still of counting the votes for the elections. But because this is the environment, this is the situation where we're in right now, and even in the run-up to the elections, what are you expecting? What kind of environment are you expecting for both new and legacy media as this administration begins its term?
Well, as we've said, you know, in the call, we call for truthfulness. And we hope that the new government will be transparent in its engagements with the media, in communicating with the citizenry. That begins with holding or resuming the regular press conferences that were a hallmark of our democracy before, but has since disappeared as a practice, at least in the office of the president, for instance.
Mm. And finally, Dean, why is it important for people to know that the spread of disinformation, the consumption of the same, the disregard for truth-telling, why is it important for people to know that all these can actually lead to the shrinking of the democratic space?
Okay, democracy works through media. That is the truth. As one of the primary scholars, Benedict Anderson, said, that the nation exists only through media. Because we do not personally, I do not personally know the top officials, right? We only know them through media. So if the information that we get through media, whether legacy or social media, is quite questionable, then we are not really making informed decisions. So everything is a spectacle, everything is a simulacrum in academic terms, right? So hindi naman siya talagang katotohanan, kaya mahirap tayo nakakapag-desisyon. Nangyaayon para sa ating hinaharap, sa ating future.
Because media exists so that the people will remain sovereign and that they can make an informed choice. Thanks a lot for joining us today. UP College of Mass Communication, Dean Fernando Paragas, they are joining us this afternoon. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, a poll watchdog wants Smartmatic to be blacklisted after glitches marred Monday's election. Stateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Poll watchdog PPCRV not seeing anything of concern so far in its validation of votes in the May 9 polls. Meanwhile, another poll watchdog, Kontradaya, wants Smartmatic blacklisted over vote counting machine glitches. An anti-martial law group taking their disqualification case against presumptive President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to the Supreme Court. And Washington says it is ready to work with the new Philippine government on key human rights and regional priorities. The Commission on Elections holding a press conference as we speak. Let's listen in.
0.43% of the total 46 cities and 1,488 municipalities that we expect to make their proclamations. For the local absentee voting, the counting and canvassing of votes are ongoing, and out of the 188 election returns that they are processing, they have already issued and canvassed 46 election returns. So practically, that's 25% already. Again, to stress, this is the highest turnout of registrants and voters who actually voted for the local absentee voting. Ang kanila pong registrants ay 93,698, And of that, 84,358 po ang na-approve for local absentee voting. At ang bumoto po ay 74,852 or a voter turnout of 88%. Ganyan po kataas, ano? For the overseas voting, we expect 63 Philippine overseas posts na na-constitute as special boards of canvassers. Out of that 63 na special boards of canvassers, they will be able to transmit to us 26 electronically transmitted COCs at merong 37 na manually accomplished COCs which will be delivered to us here straight at the NVOC. And also to highlight, highest din po ang turnout natin sa overseas voting, 34.88%. Out of the 37 manually accomplished COCs, dumating na po sa atin dito sa National Board of Canvassers ang COC ng Cambodia at ang COC ng Vietnam. And we congratulate and we thank the Special Board of Canvassers and likewise our overseas voters there. So this afternoon, we are likewise expecting late afternoon yung naman pong COC from Amman, Jordan and Tel Aviv, Israel. But a little bit of kwento lang po ano dito. Yung po kasing Amman tsaka yung Tel Aviv, supposedly they are to transmit electronically. Unfortunately, the host countries, Israel and Jordan, did not allow our vegans to enter the country. So wala po tayong choice, nag-manual accomplishment sila, and this will be brought to us personally. Darating po sila mamayang hapon. Doon naman po sa ina-expect natin na 26 electronically transmitted COCs, natanggap na po natin ang 16 out of that. So ito po yung 61.54% na po tayo for the electronically transmitted, no? Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, Lebanon, Oman, Brunei Darussalam, Ghana of the Americas OAV, Thailand, Athens, Greece, Taiwan, Bahrain, the United Kingdom, Japan, and Spain. I'll just have to get the two more mula doon po dun sa ating COMELEC secretary kasi hindi ko po makuha kanina ongoing ang canvassing natin. So for day 2 ng ating canvassing po, we have already canvassed San Juan, Korea, Batanes, Las Piñas, Malaysia, Catanduanes, Singapore, Romblon, Lebanon, Oman, Brunei, Zambales, Nueva Vizcaya, Ilocos Sur, Camiguin, Agana, Kalinga was last night, Sikihor, Thailand, Athens, Biliran, Malabon was also last night, Pasig, Marinduque, Valenzuela, Tarlac, Guimaras, Marikina, and the Dinagat Islands. Okay. So that's it for the reports of the canvassing for day 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rex. For our Q&A, Miss Tina Pangaliban Perez, GMA7, ma'am. To be followed by Greg Gregorio, TV5. Miss Tina.
Aray, may kuryente. Director Rex, with the current phase of the NBOC, masusunod po ba yung sinabi kahapon ni Com Casquejo na we will be able to proclaim the winning senators and party lists within the week? Or can we do it earlier po?
We are optimistic po that we will be able to go with that timeline. Again po, just a little bit of point of proper perspective sa party list. Sa party list po kasi dependent yung computation dun sa total number of party list votes. Medyo talaga pong nahuhuli because we still have to make the computation. Pero it's just a matter of completing the total number of party list votes naman po, and then we will be able to complete the total 63 seats allocated for the party list.
Director Rex, I'm not sure if you have seen the videos posted in our Viber group about the yung tearing of shaded ballots allegedly in Cotabato by men in police uniforms. Any reaction to that?
Yes po, this has already been also reported to us and it will be part of the agenda of the CBFSC. In fact, the operations group of the COMELEC are already there at the command center and they're digging into this issue. Ito po, iimbestigahan namin at we will report to you the eventualities. Ang una pong indications, although these reports are yet to be vetted, parang ang nangyari po yata that they are tearing the unused ballots, but perhaps parang spoiled ballot po yata, kasi parang yung first part lang po, yung may shade, yung the succeeding parts po, hindi na natin nakita. But then again, this will be investigated thoroughly and we will be reporting to the public. We will be very transparent about this po. I-report namin sa inyo.
Opo. Outside of that investigation, you've been with the COMELEC for a long time already, sir. Initially, when you saw that video, did you think there was cheating or there was anything anomalous that happened there?
To be honest about it, ang una ko pong naisip, baka nagkamali yung mga special electoral boards ng pagpunit, kasi meron po tayong procedure that we will be tearing in half the unused ballots. Sa totoo lang po, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Baka po nagkamali sila at yung pong na may shade na napakita, ay tas, minakita ko po yung parang sa first part lang yung may shade eh. Parang sa bottom, parang wala po yatang shade. The first thing that came to my mind, baka spoiled ballot, tapos na isama dun sa unused ballots, and that's why they're tearing it up. Kasi kung titignan nyo po, kung mandaraya sila, kitang-kita nila na binivideo sila. Wala pong pagtatago dun sa dalawang pulis. Wala pong hesitation sa kanila. Parang ginagawa lang nila, o punitin natin, hindi ganyan, ganito, nagtuturoan pa nga po. I think, kung sakali man po, baka nagkamali sa instructions. But then again, that's just my thoughts about this. And we will be waiting for the official report coming from both PNP and the COMELEC.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Tina. Greg Gregorio of TV5, then Dwight De Leon of Rappler.
Sir, initially, have we verified kung saang part ng Cotabato City ito? I'd like to ask lang kung isa ba ito sa mga lugar where we had to use or tap policemen to serve as Board of Election Inspectors there following yung issue with teachers na nag-back out?
As to the location, sir, I don't have yet that confirmed detail. But doon po sa BI, di ba po yung 175 clustered precincts sa Cotabato City are all manned by the special electoral boards,
right,
composed of PNP. Yes, sir. So yung buong Cotabato po kasi PNP na po yan.
Alright. So kabilang yan sa mga angles na titingnan natin.
Opo, lahat po yan titingnan, sir. Mm-hmm. Opo.
So sir, going back lang dun sa canvassing natin, yesterday, Commissioner Garcia moved to defer the canvassing of COC from ABRA. At that time, we were still waiting for the hard copy of their COC kasi. But then again, afterwards, we moved back to canvassing COC from ABRA. What happened lang, sir?
Ganito lang po, the deferment of ABRA, kasi po ano, no? Dumating po kasi yung Malabon. Napakabilis po na dumating ng Certificate of Canvass of Malabon City dito sa atin. So parang ang nangyari po, for the first Certificate of Canvass natin, na i-highlight na po ng COMELEC yung sinasabi naming accuracy. In accordance with Resolution 10728, the primary results that would be canvassed by this national board are the electronically transmitted results. Ayon po sa Section 13 ng Reso 10786, ang gagawin po dyan, ipa-flash sa screen yung electronic results, generate means printing. If it print siya, it will be opened to the public, the councils, and the watchers for scrutiny to check and evaluate kung pareho doon nasa screen and the printed ones. We took the best case opportunity kahapon. Nandito na po yung Certificate of Canvass na galing sa Malabon City. Yung po, yung galing sa kanila na dinala dito, na pirmado po nila. So we took that opportunity na tatlo instead of just two. Tatlo na po yung pinakita natin. Inuna lang po yung Malabon. But then again, pagkatapos po nun, tinuloy na natin, di ba? Binalikan po natin yung ABRA and we were able to complete that. So it's just a showcase, a demonstration. Nandiyan na eh. We take the opportunity. Total, kumbaga parang reward na rin kay Malabon na ang bilis nyo. O, tignan na namin pare-pareho. Diba? So, nakikita po natin, COC na galing sa kanila, COC na electronically transmitted, COC na pinrint natin, produced and yielded all the same results. No objection heard, no complaints.
Sir, last lang, to for the record, walang dapat ipakamba yung mga tao kahit na pure electronic and printed generated copy of the electronic COC lang yung binibilang na natin.
Opo, ganito po ano, I'll be also taking this opportunity sa ating mga kababayan na huwag po kayong kabahan. Una po, sa presinto po na binotohan ninyo dun sa mga VCMs, nag-produce po ito ng election returns. Ang election returns po nito, may kopya dito lahat ng political parties na accredited, lahat ng citizens arm and the accredited citizens arm. Meron din pong kopya sa ballot box nitong election returns na to. So practically, sample na lang po natin sa Malabon. Lahat po ng stakeholders sa election sa Malabon may hawak ng ER. And then, remember the ladderized proceedings for canvas na nabanggit ko sa inyo? These results were transmitted to the Malabon City Board of Canvassers. And the same political parties po, may representative sila doon. And I'm very sure, lahat ng ER reported. Meron din po silang quick count. Sure na sure po ako dyan. Pag political party po yan, may sariling quick count yan. They have councils and representatives sa Malabon City. Nung nag-generate po at natapos ang canvas ng Malabon City and they were able to produce their certificate of canvas, there was no objection coming from all the parties, politicians, accredited citizens arm. So meaning, yung ERs po na hawak nila, na tinotal nila, nag-jive, nag-coincide, accurate doon sa certificate of canvas na pinroduce ng Malabon City Board of Canvassers. Na dinala nila dito kagabi, na dapat sana yung electronic lang din, nag-transmit nila din sa atin, but binuksan din po nating lahat at pare-pareho po. Yung pong same political parties na nagbabantay sa presinto, na nagbabantay sa Municipal Board of Canvassers, nandito din po sila. Kasama po natin sila dito. And we heard no objections or complaints for them. So meaning aligned po lahat from the election returns, the certificates of canvas, be it electronically transmitted or manually transmitted. Pare-pareho po sila. Thank you po.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Ms. Rica Noriega, GMA News Online. Ms. Rica. To be followed by Ms. Melissa Lopez, CNN Philippines.
Good afternoon po, sir. May balita po ba na pinatigil ng COMELEC ang pag-count po sa PPCRV po?
Hindi po mangyayari yan, ma'am. PPCRV is vested with that independence that they are our partners. PPCRV is not under COMELEC and we cannot order them to stop. Partners po kami dito. In fact, kung dati po ang ginagawa ni PPCRV, yung electronic results, sinasummary po nila. But this time, to further vet the elections, alam niyo po ang ginagawa nila? They're not encoding the electronically transmitted results. What they are encoding are the printed ERs. Katulad po nung sinabi ko sa inyo, i-encode po nila lahat ito, kaya po napakarami nilang volunteers. Pagkatapos po nila i-encode ito, they will check one by one dun sa electronically transmitted results. And we really thank PPCRV for this. Sine-check po nila isa-isa. And right now, PPCRV is reporting wala po silang nakikitang any issues with their hard copies of the ER. Remember po, hindi dumaan sa ibang tao yung hard copy ng ER. Directly po itong binibigay ng Electoral Board sa representative ng PPCRV. At sila po ang may dala, kumukuha rin ng kanilang certificate.
On your screen right now, Acting COMELEC Spokesperson Director Rex Laudianco there, assuring the public that everything is aligned. He also assured the public that they shouldn't fear because the transparency system is in place. All the parties, he says, have copies of the ERs. They can always object during the process, but so far no objections have been raised by all of the parties concerned. Everything, again, as Attorney Rex Laudianco said there a while ago, everything is aligned. He also said that it's been the highest voter turnout so far for the overseas absentee voting. polling at 34.88%. The same goes for the local absentee voting, not just the highest turnout so far, but voter turnout. But there's also been it's also been the highest turnout of registrants and voters at 74.88%. He also said that the winning senators and party list groups may just be proclaimed within the week. There are 64 seats allocated for party list groups. Moving on with the rest of the news today, a poll watchdog calls for the blacklisting of Smartmatic over vote counting machine glitches. Contradaya convener Danilo Aro says most of the complaints they got on election day were about long lines and malfunctioning VCMs. He says those glitches may have disappointed some first-time voters. Aro adding this year's polls could be the most problematic automated elections in the Philippines.
Isipin nyo na lang, Johnson, ha? Nandoon ka sa polling precinct, umaga pa, gabi na, napapanood mo sa TV, sa ABS-CBN, na nagbibilangan na, tapos ikaw, naghihintay ka pa rin na makaboto. So, nakakadurog po ng puso yon. At yun yung masasabi nating concrete anecdotal evidence na meron talagang kapalpakan ang Smartmatic. Dapat ma-blacklist na yan, palayasin na sana yan sa Pilipinas. At ang COMELEC, dapat investigahan yung lahat ng mga nangyaring problema at aberya. At huwag sabihin minor problems lang ito. Oh. Hindi po minor ang potential disenfranchisement.
Oh. So here's the question. Was this year's polls the most problematic automated elections in the country? Joining us now for his assessment is Gus Lagman, president of the National Citizens Movement for Free Elections, or NAMFREL. Gus, nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon to you.
All right, so most problematic automated elections, is that your assessment?
Well, I only hear what are broadcast on television and radio. We haven't been getting reports from the field about this problem. So we just assume that everything is okay.
Despite some reports online and citizens' anecdotes that there are some anomalies and allegations of irregularities?
Well, yeah, we hear about them as well. But you hear about this almost every election. So we report what we hear about to the COMELEC. And if necessary, we report also to the PNP, whatever, if there are reports of violence, for example. That's what we do. We're just a listening post, actually.
Well, Gus, earlier this year, though, you said that a hybrid election system is still the best option to ensure a transparent and fair elections. Had that been done, do you think we'll be seeing what we're seeing right now?
I am hoping that that will eventually happen. Now, yesterday, I was in a discussion with a pretty big group, and they were all talking about can we trust the automated elections, etc., etc. And after a sudden discussion, I said, you know, we won't even have to be talking about this. If we had manual elections, we had manual counting at the precinct level. Because that would remove the doubt on the accuracy of the machines that we're using now, the Smartmatic machines. Remove that and manually count. It will only take about what, 5 hours to count the votes in the precincts, but what we would gain would be the transparency of our elections. Transparency is in the law. But we lose the transparency when we automated the precinct counting. So that's what happens.
When you do manual counting, though, how do you balance that off with you know, the quick count, the way, or the faster way wherein we get the results, and also there's human intervention there as well. So how do you balance that out?
Okay. The manual counting at the precinct level would take maybe 5 hours. The canvassing in the past would take more than a month. Mm. But canvassing should be automated. In other words, from the precincts, after the manual counting, the results can be transmitted electronically for canvassing. And so canvassing would be almost instantaneous. It would reach the municipality, city canvassing center, the city municipal canvassing center will send the COCs to the provincial canvassing board, and then the provincial board of canvassers will send their COCs to the national. Mm. At the same time, from the precincts, the results can also be transmitted to the transparency server and to the COMELEC's central server in Manila. Mm. So the only thing that would be added will probably be about 5 hours, mm. which is nothing for the sake of transparency. Because right now, it's not transparent. We don't see how our votes are counted. And that, to me, is not good. Because it's even in the law that the election should be transparent.
Yeah, but the argument that you got a receipt after you feed the ballot, you get the receipt. If it's the same as you voted, how is that not transparent enough for you?
Oh, no, well, I feed my ballot, I get a receipt. Do I see what's transmitted? For canvassing, I don't. Mm. So what is important is that when you count the votes manually at the precinct level, the political parties and the citizens' arms would get a copy of the results, the election returns. They can use that as the basis for the further processing, meaning the canvassing. Because this one, they saw the counting of those votes. Mm. So that's a trusted document. And they can use that as a basis for comparing the results during canvassing, because they can do their own canvassing based on that.
Finally, Gus, we heard from Danilo Aro there. He's calling for the blacklisting of Smartmatic in future elections. Do you share the same opinion?
Yes. Because, first of all, like I said, I'm against the use of automation at the precinct level. Automation should only be in the electronic transmission and the canvassing. But at the precinct level, it should be manual, so that people can the voters can see how their votes were counted. There are countries who went back to manual counting at the precinct level from an automated system. There's Germany, Ireland, Netherlands. So it's not going to be us who will go back to manual precinct counting. Others have done that in the past. Mm.
Are you going to actively campaign that Smartmatic be blacklisted?
Well, I've always been saying that. I've been campaigning for that since 2010. Mm.
What will it take? What will it take for them to be booted out of where they are right now?
Well, the COMELEC, they're passing a resolution to do that. That's what is needed. They even wrote a small libretto, a small monograph, a short monograph on what can be done. And I gave a copy to the COMELEC. And when a few weeks later, they said, they thanked me for the monograph, and they told me that they stored the monograph in their library.
And why do you think that was the only action given to you?
Well, they wrote me a letter thanking me and telling me that it's now their library.
Yeah. So what do you think? Why do you think that's so?
I laughed aloud when I received the letter.
Why do you think that's so? You've got concerns coming from the citizens, the voting public, and yet they choose not to listen. Why do you think that's so?
Well, they've fallen in love, I guess, with the automation. But automation can be done. There are many ways of automating a system. And I'm saying automate it from the electronic transmission all the way to national canvassing, but the precinct counting should be manual. That's a combination. That's a what you want to call hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who the number of people is growing that's supporting the hybrid system, because they know. I mean, there was a politician once who talked to me and said, "You want manual counting at the precincts?" And he said, "You know, when it was still manual, I saw with my own eyes how I was being cheated at the precincts."
Mm.
He said, "Isn't that an advantage that you can see it? Then you can protest. But if you don't see it, you don't even know if you're being cheated."
Mm.
So which one is better?
Finally, Gus, you know, there, as you've been monitoring things, there have been fears that the count, the process is rigged. What do you tell those people now who believe that that's what's happening as we speak?
To tell which, who?
The people, those who fear that the count, that the process is rigged.
Well, I have to take a look at the evidence. Why do they say that it's rigged? At the precincts, at the canvassing. I cannot comment until I see the evidence, because protests need evidence. I mean, you can't just say that you're cheated just because you lost. So you have to have evidence. And it's important that people should be aware of that, candidates should be aware of that, so that if they see something that's untoward, then they should gather the evidence so that they can file a protest.
Mm. And is that sort of enough, you think, to be the sobering guiding principle? Because, you know, you've seen a lot of elections already, Gus, right? And
yeah.
It's always, emotions are always heightened after, especially with you don't get what you want. Right, what you voted for, your candidate didn't win, and we're seeing that right now. So talk to the people, talk to the voters, be that sober voice for them. What do you tell them?
Okay, well, we'll have to accept what the results say, even if the one who won is not the one who you voted for. I mean, we just have to accept it. However, having said that, we have to be aware that there are candidates who might cheat. And when that happens, make sure that you are able to file a protest. Make sure that you get enough evidence so that the protest can be upheld. Voting is both a right and an obligation. We have to vote, but we have the right to protest when we see that there are anomalies being committed. As I always say, we talk about voter education. Voter education should start early. Even in grade school, we have to teach the pupils voter education and civic education, so that love for country, for example, this should be taught early in grade school, so that we don't even have. I'm dreaming of a future where we don't even need citizens' arms during elections, because everybody will want to watch. So that's. I hope that happens. I keep saying that. You know, I dream of the day when Damfrel, its arts will be rendered obsolete, because everybody is interested enough in our elections that they would spend time watching what's going on in the precincts.
Because everything that you said had already happened, and everything that you said, voter education and all that good stuff, have already laid the foundation. Because it shouldn't be just a one-day event, right? It should cease to be that way. Gus Lakman there, National Chairman of NAMFREL. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Take care and keep safe. Thank you also.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.